Well, good morning and welcome to the Court of Appeals. I already gave a brief introduction, but just a reminder that oral arguments are recorded by the court and the audio recording is available on the website within about 24 hours. And again, a reminder as well that recording of the audio and the video is prohibited unless you've received prior permission from the court. So with that, I will have our marshal call the next case.
Now calling A23-1821, James W. Honchik, appellant versus Norman County, Minnesota, respondent.
Okay, and counsel, as you both probably know, you have 15 minutes for your principal argument with an additional 5 minutes for counsel for appellant for rebuttal. If you can indicate whether you can see a screen up in the upper left-hand corner of your ability to see the zoom.gov showing 15 minutes. Do you both see that block?
Yes, Craig Johnson
Sure.
does.
Okay. Great. So that is our timer, and you will be able to see that during your argument. Counsel, please introduce yourself at the beginning of your argument, along with who your client is, and let us know if there's anything we need to know for pronunciation or preferred identification information. And finally, please mute yourself when you are not speaking, but leave your camera on. And if you have any concerns or difficulties with the technology, please let me know right away. And we'll take a break. We'll work to get that resolved because we want to ensure that we can hear from both of you. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. With that, we have 15 minutes on the clock in counsel for appellant. You may begin when you are ready.
My name is Craig Johnson. I'm with the Johnson, Monager, and Greenwood law firm out of Fargo, North Dakota. I represent James W. Honchik, who is the plaintiff and appellant in this matter. Mr. Honchik is in the room with me, along with his wife, Carol Honchik. This case, as the court knows, stems from a motor vehicle collision that occurred on February 14, 2022, at the intersection of County Highway 39 and County Highway 4 in Norman County, Minnesota. Mr. Honchik was on his way from Fargo, North Dakota to Bemidji, North Dakota at the time. He was driving Enterprise rent-a-car for Enterprise rental company to Bemidji. And on his route from Fargo to the area of the collision, he encountered no snow on the roadways. There was an occasional patch of ice in some of the areas where it was sheltered because of a shelter belt or a farmstead. As he approached the intersection, he saw the snowplow being operated by Justin Wilhelm, traveling southbound on County Highway 4, and it appeared to slow as it approached the intersection, but it never stopped at the stop sign controlling his lane of travel. And he pulled into the intersection directly into the path of Mr. Honchik, causing the collision. Now, the issue is whether or not there was any snow to be removed on the highway at the time and place of this collision. Mr. Honchik did not see any snow being thrown from the plow, the blade, the wing blade on the snow plow.
Well, Mr. Johnson, oh, I'm sorry, Judge Wheelock, go
No,
ahead.
please go ahead, Judge Johnson.
I was just going to ask, Mr. Johnson, why do you say that's the precise issue? And I know in your brief you say, well, there was no snow or ice being actually removed at the time of the collision, and that's dispositive. And I'm trying to assess why that is so. I mean, you noted that there are occasional patches of ice as your client went on the road. I mean, it's clear it wasn't snowing, but if there was patches of ice on the road, the county made the decision, well, there's been drifting, and so we're going to send out the plows, right? What?
Yes, the yes.
Yeah, so two questions. One, what a Minnesota authority says it's got to be snow and ice on the road at the moment of the collision, because I didn't see any. And my second question is, aren't you really, isn't your real concern, beef, so to speak, With the decision to send out the pilots in the first place, not with the actions of this driver.
Actually, no. The there was a wind event 2 days prior, and there, I'm not saying that there wasn't any snow on the 691 miles of county roads. I mean, there could have been finger drifts 10 miles away, 20 miles away. And in fact, if you look at the photographs in looking south, it appears a quarter mile of the way to the south on the gravel road, there might have been a little finger drift. But what I'm saying is, I believe the law in Minnesota is to for immunity to apply, the operator has to be actively engaged in the process of removing the ice and snow. And if there's no ice or snow in the vicinity of where the collision took place, how can you be actively engaged in removing it?
Can I step back and just confirm, you don't dispute that Mr. Wilhelm was on his route, his designated route at the time, traveling on that route at the time of the collision, do you?
I do not. He was on the designated route, and he was directed to go on that route by the road supervisor for the county. I mean, obviously, the road supervisor hadn't driven all 691 miles of roadway to determine where there was snow and where there wasn't snow. He sent five road graders out and six plow trucks out to remove whatever snow or ice may have been on the roads. And his decision for doing so is based upon the fact that it was windy 2 days before. And you know, I can't dispute that. I don't know his reasoning. I don't know, other parts of the county maybe did have a lot of snow and ice on the roadway, but there wasn't any in the vicinity of this accident.
Isn't there some degree of discretion that goes into if you're traveling on the route and you don't have the blade deployed and you're not actually plowing at the moment of the collision, but the driver sees snow up ahead that they intend to plow and they're approaching an intersection? Wouldn't that discretion, even under the view that the argument you've advanced that you have to be actively plowing, wouldn't that discretion and therefore official immunity extend to that act?
It's possible. It depends upon how far up the road it is. I mean, if Mr. Wilhelm saw snow, you know, a half a mile ahead that he was going to intend to plow off of the road, and he comes up to this intersection with a stop sign, I don't think that justifies him blowing the stop sign because he's going to plow some snow, you know, half a mile up the road. Or he plans to plow some snow 10 miles down the road. I mean, I think he has to be actively engaged in the process of removing the ice and snow at the time of this collision, not what he's going to do in the future or what he did in the past. I mean, there may have been snow on the road that he removed, you know, a half an hour before this happened, in locations that we don't know about because we didn't go on every road that he went on.
So,
But
Mr. Johnson, if we adopted your approach of actively moving the snow, then that would be inconsistent with our decision in the Gustafson case, right? Because there, and I understand it's a non-published, non-presidential case, but there the snowplow driver had lifted his plow blade at the time of the collision, so obviously didn't have the plow blade down. But this court said, look, if we just look at that moment in time, that's too narrow a treatment of the act of plowing. So would you agree that if we take your approach, then we need to, we're taking a different tact than the court did in Gustafson?
Not really, because in Gustafson there was actually snow on the road. And in this case, there wasn't any. I mean, our premise is there wasn't any snow on the road for him to remove. In Gustafson, there was actually snow. But here there isn't any. And I mean, the Craig Stern testified that he went on after the ambulance had taken Mr. Hanczyk away. He'd went on and finished his route all the way to Bemidji. and the snowplow that Mr. Wilhelm was operating was incapacitated, and part of Mr. Wilhelm's route was to continue eastbound on Highway 39. And so Highway 39 hadn't been plowed before Craig Stern went on the rest of his way, and he encountered no snow all the way to Bemidji. So there wasn't even any snow out there. I mean, and whether there was snow is actually a question of fact. And questions of facts are to be decided by the jury, not as a matter of law.
So would you help me with that? Didn't you argue in response to the summary judgment motion below that there were, did you also say you were entitled to summary judgment, which might lead one to think, weren't you thinking there weren't, was no question of fact?
The burden to prove immunity is on the respondent. They produced no pictures of any snow. The only testimony about snow was Mr. Wilhelm testified there was a patch of grass by the stop sign, and there was a drift in that patch of grass that he was going to plow. Well, he went through the intersection. He didn't throw any snow onto Highway 39 from that so-called drift. He couldn't go back and make his round corner or square corner, whatever he called it, because his snowplow was incapacitated. But yet the county didn't provide any evidence of that snowdrift that was supposed to be there. Their blade operator, who was supposed to go plow the gravel road that extends to the south, Bruce Dugan, wasn't called to testify that he cleared off any snow there. I mean, there's no evidence that there was any snow to be cleared. And it's their burden to prove that he was actually in the process, actively engaged in removing ice and snow, and they didn't meet that burden. If there's no snow there, there's no immunity.
So, clearly, Mr. Johnson, it actually seems to me that our case law distinguishes between whether the employee was engaged in a discretionary act versus a ministerial act, not necessarily whether there was snow or not snow on that particular piece of the road at the time that the accident occurred. So if you could maybe explain to me, talk about discretionary versus ministerial, and explain how whether there was or was not snow ties into that distinction, that would be helpful.
Well, the discretionary function is if there is actually snow on the roadway, or they're actually in the process of doing that, there is discretion where they may have to adjust their blade. It may make a difference as to how far or how close to the edge of the road they are driving. It makes a difference as to how fast they're going. And there are instances, and there's case law that says if the snow was wet and heavy, like I think it was Jersey, if it's wet and heavy and it's going to cause a problem for them to stop for a stop sign, they can go through if it's safe to do so. In this case, there wasn't any discretionary decisions at all. I mean, his blade had been down the entire time that he was driving down the road. He slowed down. In fact, he wasn't exercising any discretion. And he was just gambling. He testified that the plow truck, that the Norman County plow trucks have blind spots. And so he can't see if there's any cross traffic coming. And so for him to just arbitrarily blow the stop sign, not knowing whether or not there's cross traffic coming, isn't acting discretionary. It's gambling. It's like Russian roulette. I mean, Mr. Hanczyk sustained very severe and disabling injuries. Thank God it wasn't a school bus with a bunch of unrestrained students in there that he pulled out in front of. I mean, there was no discretion in the act, and if you want to call it discretion, it's certainly an abuse of discretion, because when you can't see if the path is clear and you just blindly pull out across the highway, that's not discretion, it's gambling. And quite frankly, Norman County is at fault for having any type of a snow removal policy when they have snowplow trucks with blind spots, not requiring every operator to stop at every stop sign. Otherwise, you just put in the, it's just basically, it's a reckless, total reckless disregard of other people's rights. I mean, They don't even know if they're going to run in front of somebody or not. And in this particular case, the only thing that Mr. Wilhelm testified about any discretion was he testified he wanted to keep his speed up to throw the snow off of the roadway. And so I asked him, well, then if there was snow there and you threw it off the roadway, it would land on Highway 39, right? Well, he'd have to agree with that. But if you look at the photographs, there isn't any snow on Highway 39. And if he was pushing snow and where he stopped, then there'd be a pile of snow where the truck stopped if there was any snow there to begin with. And there isn't any snow there. The only snow that's at the area of that intersection is the snow that got knocked off the plow truck as a result of the collision. And so this was clearly a ministerial act. You stop for stop signs. The law says you stop for stop signs. And in fact, the policy of Norman County, the unwritten policy, as Justin Wilhelm understands, is you don't have to stop for a stop sign if you can safely do it, you know, across the highway without causing injury and not stopping. But in this case, how can you possibly say you can safely cross a highway without stopping when it's a blind spot and you can't even see if anybody's coming? You have to stop so you can look around those mirrors that are causing the blind spot to see if the coast is clear. I think I'm out of time.
Mr. Johnson, you will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. And so at this point, we will turn to counsel for respondents. We'll have 15 minutes on the clock. Just a reminder, when you're not speaking, to have your settings on mute, but leave your video on, and also to introduce yourself and your client at the beginning of your argument. So Mr. Schaefer, you may begin when you are ready.
Morning, justices. May it please the court, Attorney Johnson. My name is Tom Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, for Defendant Norman County. I think the decision of Judge Spalla up in Norman County was correct on the facts of this case, and that decision should be affirmed. She provided a detailed a factual summary of all of the evidence in the case and issued a memorandum of correctly applying the law, I'll say the well-settled law in Minnesota, to the facts of this case. I know as attorneys, sometimes when you jump into a snowplow case, your initial thought is they have the same obligations as all of us do to follow the rules of the road when traveling from point A to point B. But snowplows specifically are exempted from the rules of the road. There's the statute, of course, in Minnesota that exempts snowplow operators when they're actively engaged in their conduct. And there's just a long line of cases applying common law official immunity to their conduct, some of which is I've been involved in.
And we've never adopted a blanket rule that every action taken during snowplowing is discretionary, right? You would agree with that.
Well, that's correct, Judge. I think if there's a couple of cases where this court has ruled opposite. If, for example, they're not involved in actively active conduct, conscious conduct, engaged in their activities. There's the Charisse Bloomington case, of course, which I point out and I distinguish. And then there's the Fernow Gould case, which I point out and distinguish. But once a snowplow operator is engaged in conduct, is engaged in his snow removal activities, when he's consciously making determinations in how to perform that work, then that determination is protected conduct and is afforded discretionary immunity. And in this instance,
Mr. Schaefer, but here, I mean, I'm not, if it's not clear that the driver was actively removing snow at the time of the collision. And given that it's your burden to establish the grounds for immunity, why isn't this a factual question that shouldn't have been resolved on summary judgment, as Mr. Johnson suggests?
Because the facts relevant to immunity are not disputed in this case. I have Mr. Wilhelm's affidavit that was submitted, and also the deposition transcripts of both Mr. Hontzik and Mr. Stern were taken before all of the case was briefed and presented to the district court. Neither Mr. Hontzik or Mr. Stern had any reason to dispute the version given by Mr. Wilhelm that he was removing snow drifting as he was traveling southbound on County Road 4, and the decision making as he approached the intersection to remove that drifting at the stop sign, and how he was going to accomplish that task, that he slowed down, that he wanted to maintain vehicle speed so that the snow would be properly thrown, and that he looked but did not see Mr. Hontzik's vehicle. So but he
doesn't that go. I'm sorry to interrupt. That's the precise point I wanted to stop you at, because the issue that your counterpart's raising is the factual dispute as to whether or not there was snow at the point of collision. And the active engagement, as I understand the argument you're making, is that he's preparing to remove that snow, and that's a fact that's in dispute. My understanding is that the undisputed fact here is that Mr. Wilhelm's on his designated route. There's an agreement to that, and he's driving on that route or route, and that's where the collision occurs. But there's a dispute as to whether or not he was actually removing snow, or there was snow to be removed at the point of collision. So why shouldn't we consider the argument you're making to be that if a snowplow driver is on their designated route and they've been dispatched to go on that route, it doesn't really matter whether they're actively engaged or not at the moment of the collision, at least for summary judgment purposes, for deciding whether or not there's a genuine issue of material fact?
Because you would create fact issues on every single one of these cases, and you would hollow out the common law official immunity exception to the point where that it becomes meaningless. That the specific conduct in this case at that intersection with that particular snowdrift was on.
But that's the factual dispute. The particular snowdrift is the factual dispute here, as I understand it. Mr. Johnson's saying there's no snowdrift, and that's something the jury should decide.
No, the argument that's been made is that our snowplow operator already had cleared County Road 39. There's no photographs or evidence. As to the condition of County Road 4, where my client was plowing as he approached the intersection with County Road 39. He had already plowed both directions on County Road 39, and he had gone northbound on County Road 4, and this was his return southbound on County Road 4 to finish the task of County Road 4. He had cleared County Road 39 before, but as he enters the intersection, completing his removal at that corner with County Road 4, it's that precise condition of the roadway where the impact occurred that counsel is claiming there's a fact issue as to whether or not there was snow at that precise position of impact. Whereas I'll concede him that if that's what he wants, because Mr. Wilhelm's conduct needs to be viewed from a perspective of a continuation of his snow and ice removal responsibilities. That's why cases where a snowplow operator, for example, in the Gustafson making a U-turn, that was protected conduct where he pulls onto the roadway, subsequently gets into a collision. He doesn't even have his plow blades down, but immunity was afforded in that case. There's a number of other cases in the decision. It's the decisionary mechanism of in this instance and in other cases where he decides to roll through the intersection, that's the protected conduct. The court has never allowed itself to be distracted by ministerial duties within the context of performing the broader snow removal responsibilities. And so therefore that's why immunity is applied.
So and, Mr. Schaefer, if I can clarify, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that even if there wasn't snow on the exact portion of the road where the collision occurred, that in fact the snowplow operator was engaged still in the process of clearing the road at the time of the collision, and therefore that is why he is afforded the immunity. That's your argument, is that correct?
That's exactly correct, Your Honor. I mean, we start to look at roadways and whether or not they're at the precise moment of impact, whether or not there's snow, for example. I mean, let's forget that there could be ice and our operator could be dropping sand. But if the court is going to carve out some exception, they're creating fact issues, I suppose, in every single case, because that will now be argued all the time.
And I was appreciative that you clarified that my understanding of the record was, in fact, that the driver had already cleared 39, that he had traveled one direction, returned coming the other direction, and what had moved on to another portion of the road. And that is why there may have been no snow in the area, generally speaking.
That's correct, Your Honor. He had already cleared 39 both directions and had went northbound on 4 and was returning the road clearing responsibility southbound on 4 and approaching the intersection again. And that's when it occurred. It was his intention, of course, to go all the way across 39. The other side of 39 is County Road 110. It's a gravel road. It's not paved. And then he was going to back up from that position to complete his tasks and complete his assigned route.
Can I ask you, hypothetically speaking, if, say, the county decides to dispatch plows along designated routes, and it so happens that the roads are totally clear, they're dry, and when the plows go out, they're driving on their designated routes. Mm-hmm. Would you agree that if a plow operator who's driving on a designated route and decides to roll through a stop sign, like what happened in this case, and there's a collision, under those circumstances, would that not be covered by official immunity because there was never any snow to remove?
If he was on, well, let's say he has to return from his route back to the office after he completes his tasks. So yes, if he's officially cleared his route, turns off his lights, and is now lifted up his blades, he's not dropping sand or salt.
Not coming back to the office, not getting into that exception. You're on the route. And the whole route, it's clear, and you still roll through a stop sign. There's nothing ahead to later, you know, to save momentum to plow. There's nothing behind, or let's just say that's a fact in dispute, whether or not there was anything ahead or behind. Would you agree with me that summary judgment under those circumstances wouldn't be appropriate?
I you're not going to like the answer, but I would say it would depend more on the specific facts of the case. This particular event, having grown up in that general area, the flatness of that area, the drifting that's involved with snow events or just wind events, regardless of whether or not there was snow, it becomes a bit of a feature, I suppose, is to, you know, as common folk thinking that, well, you know, he's plowing, there's an inch of snow, we got to take care of this road, it's completely covered. But while he's on his route, if his lights are engaged and he's making a distinct decision as to why he's going to roll through a stop sign, and that decision is based on completing his tasks and his work, if all of that is absent, then I might agree, or, you know, at least that there could be a factual issue. But all of those facts aren't absent in this case, as to how our a driver was operating in this instance. So, I mean, could that position that appellant has asserted maybe hold some water in some case? I would say it could. It'd be factual dependent, though. And those facts are not present in this case. Thank you. Unless the court has any further questions, I'm not seeing my time on here, but I think I'm...
I have a minute and 45 seconds.
Oh, well, then I timed it perfect. I would just ask that Judge Aspala's decision be affirmed. She reviewed everything very conscientiously. She went as far as to summarize complaint allegations, answer allegations, the deposition testimony that was taken, and apply the law correctly in this case, consistent with all of the cases in this area of the law. So I would ask that her decision be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. So we will turn back to counsel for appellant for rebuttal at this time. There are 5 minutes on the clock, and Mr. Johnson, you can begin when you are ready. Mr. Johnson, I think you may still be muted.
You were correct. Thank you. The statutory exception for the snowplow operators found at Minnesota Statute 169.035 Subdivision 1 clearly provides that exception for following the rules of the road only applies while actually engaged in snow or ice removal. Actually engaged would imply that they actually have to be removing snow or ice. In this case, that is a factual question. Both Mr. Stern and Mr. Hansik testified there was no snow there coming off of that snowplow. And when they saw the snowplow coming from the north, there was no snow being thrown from the roadway. After he went through the intersection and stopped, there was no snow that got thrown onto the Highway 39 or County 10, or I get 110, I guess, the county road going south of that intersection. There wasn't any snow pile under the blade where it stopped. There just wasn't any snow there, and that's a factual question. In summary judgment, the trial court isn't supposed to weigh the facts. That's for the jury. And the trial court is supposed to resolve all reasonable inferences in favor of the non-moving party. The court didn't do that in this case. With respect to common law immunity, clearly driving in your lane of travel, obeying the speed limit, and stopping for stop signs are all ministerial acts. There's nothing discretionary about, well, I can drive in the oncoming traffic lane here for a while, or I can go 80 miles an hour. You know, it's the rules of the road are for safety purposes, and there wasn't any snow to be removed. And if there is snow there, it's up to the county to prove it. They could have taken photographs of that snow bank or snow drift there, if there was one there. The photographs that are provided and basically were admitted and filed with the court show that there wasn't any drifting snow that day.
Now, aren't you, Mr. Johnson, aren't you asking us to adopt a rule to define active engagement as blade down, throwing snow in every case? I mean, isn't that that would remove the discretion for the plow operator who in one section doesn't see any snow to lift the blade, see snow up ahead, maintain their momentum, go through the intersection, put the plow back down. I mean, it seems like you're very narrowly defining this term. Why is that wrong?
I'm not sure I totally understand the question, but they don't have to lift the blade just because there isn't any snow. The blade is set just like on the front of this plow, the plow was set 4 to 6 inches above the surface of the paved road. Okay, and he drove down the highway with it sat 4 to 6 inches above the paved surface. He wasn't blowing any snow off the highway. His wing blade was down, and they're basically blowing some finger drifts that may have occurred at various stages along the county roads. But I mean, he could have left that blade down and traveled the whole 4 miles, and he might have only encountered one or two snow drifts. So I don't see where there's any discretion, especially in this case, when there wasn't any snow to move. I mean.
So, Mr. Johnson, if you could just clarify for me, is your argument here that there's a factual dispute and therefore summary judgment was inappropriate because there's a dispute as to whether or not the driver was engaged in the act of snow plowing?
Yes.
As opposed to an argument that the legal application was incorrect by the court as to whether or not the driver was engaged in a discretionary or a ministerial decision while engaged in the act of snow blowing.
Well, it's kind of a combination because if there was actually snow there and the person was actually engaged in the removal of it, I think the law is pretty clear that the case law that the operator has discretion. And we'd have to approve an abuse of discretion, which in this case, I think we probably have anyway, since the fact that he wasn't exercising discretion when he's got a blind spot, he's just gambling. I mean, he's just hoping nobody's coming. There's no cross traffic. I mean, the county itself is at fault for not having a proper, I mean, they should be requiring all truck plow operators stopping at all stop signs as opposed to blindly running through them, whether there's snow on the road or not.
Okay, and I see that the time is up, Mr. Johnson. Do either judges have any additional questions? Okay, seeing no additional questions, I think that concludes the argument on this case for today. And I just want to thank both attorneys for your argument here today, as well as the briefing in this case. It is very helpful to the court to have that. And the case is deemed submitted, and we will issue an opinion within the statutory timeframe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justices.